Father in heaven, we have so much to be thankful for. We have each other to be thankful for. We have you especially to be thankful for, because without you, there'd be no purpose, no meaning, no joy, no hope. But we're especially thankful that we can come together before you this morning, know that you are with us because you have promised that, and that we can cast all our cares upon you and lay all of our burdens down at your feet. And so we pray now as we come into this service that we will do that. We will let all of our things that have happened this week, things that are going on in our lives, to just lay them at your feet, put them before you, just have a big sigh of relief and let you just refresh us and minister to us, knowing that you will take care of really all of our cares, all of our burdens, give us everything that we need. And we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This particular song is not in the hymnal, so you'll just have to wing it. Please. You'll recognize it. If my people's hearts are humbled, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace. I will hear their prayers from heaven. I will pardon every sin. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will surely heal their land. Then my eyes will see their sorrow, then my ears will hear their plea. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will set their nation free. If my people's hearts are humbled, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace. Thank you, and be seated.
Good morning, church family. A couple of weeks ago, we and some other people were on a houseboat in Lake Powell, Arizona, and we were having a great time, and the young people here, the young gentlemen, took it upon themselves to say, hey, let's sing some quartet, and they just have, it's reawakened fun for me and Brian, because when I was in an academy in college, I know we sang a lot of quartet, and it's like a new generation is discovering this, and it's a lot of fun. In fact, I listened to quartet. My favorite was the King's Heralds. And Jim McClintock, Jim, you're here? Where are you, Jim? There he is in the back. I remember Jim was a big hero of quartet music. I don't remember when he first started because I was only 1 year old. But it's just so inspirational to listen to quartet music. So we'd like to do a couple for you right now. We're in the early stages. Somebody suggested that we call ourselves the Houseboat Quartet, but that didn't sound very spiritual. So we're called Fortified, and we're going to do a couple of songs for you right now. Excuse me, I have a phone call. That's embarrassing. Okay, I'm back.
blessed three in one.
Ooh. Now the next song is a spiritual. And spirituals always have so much feeling to them. And I'm hesitant to suggest to you, if you'd like to toe tap or snap. But if you're more conservative, that's fine too. But I guarantee you, you'll be tapping in your heart. It's a fun song. It's called Low Down the Chariot.
Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Howdy, won't you?
Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Why don't you?
Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Why don't you?
Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Hey, Lordy, won't you?
Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Right on,
King Jesus.
Right on,
right on, King Jesus.
Won't you ride on?
Right on, the conquering King. I wanna go to heaven in the morning.
Right on,
right on, King Jesus.
Right on,
right on, King Jesus.
Won't you ride on?
Right on, the conquering King. I wanna go to heaven in the morning.
Well, I've been trying so hard just to make it on through. You know, I'm trying to live the way you want me to. I want to say goodbye to all the sin inside. I don't want to miss that great glory ride. So when you break on through that golden sky, please slow it down, don't pass me by. Swing that chariot away down low. I want to go like Elijah.
Right on, King Jesus.
Right on,
right on, King
won't
Jesus.
You ride on?
Right on, the conquering King. I want to go to heaven in the morning.
Right on.
Right on, King Jesus.
Right on.
Right on, King Jesus.
Oh, right on.
Right on, the conquering King. I want to go to heaven in the morning.
And oh, low down the chariot.
Let me ride.
Low down the chariot.
Let me ride. Low down the chariot. Let me ride. Low down the chariot. Let me ride.
Oh, low down the chariot.
Let me ride.
Low down the chariot.
Let me ride. Low down the chariot. Let me ride. Low down the chariot.
Wow, that was great. It's time for the children's story, so come on up. I need a lot of helpers today, so as many people that can come up, we need help. This is a interactive story. How great, there's lots and lots of people to help. Nice, even some really big kids, which actually will help too. Okay. Let's see. Who here is 8? Is anybody 8? Okay, we got 1, 2, 3 8-year-olds. Okay, this story took place when I was 8 years old. I lived in a town called South Lancaster, Massachusetts, and one of the things that I just loved to do when I was 8, and I was pretty cool when I was 8, all you had to do is ask me and I'd tell you, I used to like to go down to the dairy and watch the cows, and I like to watch the cows and get milked. Cows were cool. So here's the interactive part. What sound do cows make, especially when they're hungry? Who can make a good cow sound? That's very good. Anybody else? All right, Zach.
Moo.
That's the annoyed cow that didn't get in the front of the food line. Anybody else? Come on, get some real good moos here. All right, another moo? Anybody want a moo? All right. Well, my family, my mom and dad, had a rule in the house. And their rule was this. If you don't work, you can't eat. Well, I was 8 years old, and I like to play around. So my dad figured, you know what? Son, you're about old enough to have a job. Hopefully nobody hears labor services. So one day my dad came home and he said, Chris, I got you a job. I go, you got me a job? Cool, because I wanted to work. I could do all kinds of things. I was the bomb. So my dad said, yep, you're going to work at the dairy. Tomorrow morning, you off, and you're going to help feed the cows. It's like, nice. Do I get paid? He said, yes, you do. When you're all done, you go see Mr. Folger, and he's going to give you a gallon of milk. What? Gallon of milk? For a whole day of labor? I'm 8. I need money. I got to buy bubble gum and stuff. He said, nope, you get a gallon of milk. So the next morning, we got up really, 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 really early. The sun was just barely starting to wake up. We got in our Rambler, and we drove up the street, and my dad dropped me off. And on one side was all the cows, and on the other side was the barn. And there I stood, right in the middle, all by myself. Started to get pretty worried. I mean, I'd seen cows been milked before. I'd seen them be fed before, but now I was by myself. And cows, you know, they don't really distinguish between whether you're 8 or 20. When they see humans, what do they want? They want food. So what sound do you think started happening? Oh, come on, you guys are the worst cows I've ever seen. Moo. They were just mooing like crazy. Okay, let's do it. Ready? I don't know. What do you think? One more time. Ready? Much better. Much better. I started to get kind of nervous. I'm like, I don't know. Cows were all over there going, moo. There's ones in the front going, moo. The ones in the back going, moo. There's cows there, about 120 of those. That's a lot of cows. There was another pen over there with some bulls, but I don't think you milk bulls. And then there's some little cows over there. I didn't know what to do. I was standing all by myself. So suddenly, pickup truck rolls up, and out jumps Eddie. Now, Eddie was cool. I was 8, but Eddie was about 20. And Eddie, lots of stories about Eddie. He could play baseball like nobody else. And Eddie said, hey, little buddy, what are you doing? I'm like, little buddy, I'm Chris. I'm here to feed the cows and milk them, too. He's like, well, you come with me. So we went over to the cow pen, and Eddie jumped up on one of the rungs there, and I stood right in front of the gate. And he said, what are you going to do there? I'm like, we're going to milk the cow. He says, you better get out of the way. So I went up, and I got on the other side, and we opened the gate. And what do you think the cows did? They went running like crazy right for the barn. They knew where to go. They get up there, and the rest of the day I spent with Eddie. And Eddie showed me how to put the milking machine on the cows and hosed them down. And then we threw corn, and they ate the corn. And then after that, we got to ride the tractor. Oh, big tractor with wheels. No child labor right here. Big wheels on the tractor, and we got to throw hay all day. And all that nervousness, all that fear that I had, even though I thought I was pretty cool, went away because I followed Eddie around all day. Zach's going to read a Bible text for us. Go ahead, Zach.
Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
Isn't that nice? See, Eddie cared for me that day, even though I thought I was pretty cool. Eddie cared for me. And Jesus cares for us too. Sometimes we get pretty arrogant and we think, you know what? I'm 8, I'm 9, I'm 10, I can do everything. And sometimes even as adults we do that too. But Jesus cares for us. And if we give our cares to him, he takes care of us. Let's say a little prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for taking care of us and help us to give all of our worries to you because you will make them go away. Thank you. Amen. All right, you guys go back to your seats. Eddie was about as big as Alex.
Hi, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Today we have for offering a women's ministry. I have Bunny here to talk to you about that.
He needed support. You know how women are. We're the support team, right? All right. So we as women need support too. So the conference asks for your donations to help with the women's ministry, to help the women in their health projects and the women abuse and single parents and all the stuff that they do in the conference to help support the women. And also sometimes when God calls a woman to preach the gospel, and he does a lot, that only a woman can reach another woman sometimes. And even with men can only reach certain men. And I think that's why he separated some organizations so that we can reach our own, what do you call it? Gender. There you go. Blank mind oldness. But anyway, so that we can reach people of our own gender and sympathize with where they're coming from. So I ask that you dig deep into your pockets today and to help support the women's ministry. Also, I ask the women, and men, I hope you support them on this, so is the last Friday in September and the first Saturday and Sunday in October is the women's retreat. And please mark it on your calendar. You need to go. If you feel like your cup is down here somewhere and you want it to be up here full with gospel, then you need to go to this retreat. It's awesome. You get to have all your food prepared for you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about little children. All you need to do is worry about getting up and getting yourself together and listen to the Word of God. So please, if you women, mark this on your calendars and get ready to go so you can get your vacation days set up.
Thank you, Bunny. And for women's ministry, it goes into the little tithe envelopes. Just write that down on there. And also for offering loose change goes to a church budget. So any loose change you have, please help support the church. Keeps the electricity, the water, keeps it clean, repaired. I heard we had a refrigerator go out, and we had that repaired. We had some AC for the sanctuary, actually. So that's why it's cool, nice and cool right now. So I really need that for this weather right now. So anything, please help the local church budget, you know, keep it clean and running for you. And will the deacons please stand? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that it's starting to cool down now. Thank you for this, for the AC. This keeps us nice and cool in here while we worship you. And please be with us. Thank you for this week that we had. Please give us strength for the next coming week for work and summer break that we have. And thank you for giving us support, Lord, in our day-to-day lives. And thank you again for just watching over us and giving us strength. Okay? In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to joy or pain, come quick.
and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
for our scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading from New International Version. It's going to be from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Shall we kneel for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this beautiful Sabbath morning. We are so blessed that we have the freedom to worship you, that we choose to spend the time with you, and that we can have this time to have blessings. We know there's a lot of pain out in this world. We ask that you be with the Ten Brinks and King family and the Jensen and Brazier family as at this time they are grieving. We know that we will meet our loved ones again someday soon, and this gives us hope. But for those left on the earth, it is very painful, so please help them to be able to cope. Please be with those who don't have jobs, who may be losing their homes, who have sicknesses in the family, problems with relationships, Lord. That is the whole reason why going to church gives us such comfort, because we know that there's a God that cares, and that we are so privileged to have a God that cares and listens to our problems. Help us open our ears and our hearts to Pastor Dennis's message, that it may give us hope, and we pray that your coming will be soon. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, church family, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit has been working on this particular Sabbath's activities for a long time. Steve and I talked about singing a duet together at least 6 months ago, and we finally found a time that would be workable for us. And the songs that we chose to sing, when I called and asked Pastor about his message this week, he said, perfect fit. And that doesn't happen by magic or some happenstance. That's God behind the scenes working things out. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate Steve doing double duty and joining me today, and especially thank Jenny for playing for us.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in
my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet me, ever take as from the Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promised land.
Thank you. Have you been blessed this morning? Do you have a burden this morning? Pastor Dennis, what a way to open a sermon. But it's a very good way, actually. Would you admit it if you had a burden? I would hope so. God cares for you. He loves you, and he opens his arms to you, and he says, if you are troubled, if you are burdened, come home to me, Jesus, to me, Father. Oh, my friends, there is lots to be thankful for. When you walk out into the world, you find people burdened with a lot of different issues going on in their lives. There's a lot of sadness out there. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. As a Christian, Peter does something phenomenal. And I want to give you just a little foretaste and picture of Peter's life. Peter, you remember, was the one who said he would never deny his Lord. Remember that? And not many hours after having said that, he did just what he said he wasn't going to do. And as the cock crowed and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming down and their eyes locked, Peter was cut to the heart. And he suddenly realized the sinner that he truly was. And then, probably for the most powerful moment in his life, he realized his need of Jesus. And Isaiah of Ages says he left that place, went back to the garden, to the very spot where Jesus had pleaded with the Father to remove the cup from him, and gave his life to Jesus. Now, at the end or near the end of Peter's life, Peter's again speaking to the new church, the growing church, sharing with them what it means to walk faithfully with Jesus. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, he talks to the elders of the church. And it reminds the elders of their duties and their responsibilities to be caregivers of the flock. Why would that be significant to Peter? Because he remembered his experience. And so he talks to you, elders of the Camarillo Seventh-day Adventist Church. Are you looking over the sheep? And then he speaks about the chief shepherd and being faithful to the chief shepherd. And who would that be? His Lord, his Savior, yours and mine, Jesus Christ. Being faithful to Jesus doesn't just happen. It takes time on your knees, letting Jesus know the cares and the burdens of your heart. We've had some sad moments in our church over the last few weeks. We've also had some good moments, more good than bad. That's the good news. And whenever I'm around you, the church family, I am always energized. We have much to be grateful for. Husbands returning from Afghanistan. We've been praying for your safety, and we're just so glad you're back home safe and sound. But not everyone comes home safe and sound. We need to remember those that are out there fighting for freedom. But before I go any further, I want to remember something significant about this church. There was a milestone in our church last July 5, Tuesday. There's a young man in our church that had a memorable day. It was his 90th birthday. His name is John Lundy. John, I missed this opportunity last week, so I'm a few days late, but we, your church family, want to give you recognition for 90 wonderful years. I think 90 years is worth celebrating, don't you? So we're just so happy for you and Betty, and just glad you're a part of this family. What a blessing. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Gracious, loving Jesus, this morning, we plead with you to open the windows of heaven. And as we look heavenward, we see you, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father. You're looking at your watch. You're saying, Father, how long? How much more time do I have to wait to go and rescue my people? We can't hear the Father's answer, but I think he turns to Jesus and said something like this, soon, my son, soon. Jesus, keep asking that question. Ask it more frequently. But in the meantime, allow your Holy Spirit, in fact, empower your Holy Spirit to come and touch our hearts, to turn a stony heart into a fleshy heart, to help us be ready to meet you. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with power today. Thank you for leading us into a deeper and deeper relationship with you through songs, through prayer, through our giving, and our time with you. We worship you this morning, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Listening to Chris tell the story about cows brought back a lot of memories. Chris, I had a little earlier experience than you did because I was cradled as my dad and mom went to the barn to milk the cows. But our milking tools were a little different than what you were accustomed to because ours were our hands. A bucket and two hands. And I remember growing up thinking, I can't wait until I can milk the cows. I later regretted thinking that. Because when I learned to do that, then guess what? The responsibility shifted. Denny, it's time to get up and go milk the cows before school today. So having grown up around cows and horses and sheep and chickens and all that other farm stuff, I dated a young lady who grew up in the city who had never been close to a cow. So one day, as we were traveling to Hollister on a weekend break from La Sierra, I was headed down from San Juan Bautista into Hollister, and we had some acreage off the highway there. So I told her, I said, well, I'm going to swing in and see if Dad's here. So we drove down the lane into, opened the gate, drove on in. Now, remind you, I'm driving a little blue Volkswagen, 1967 Volkswagen. And suddenly, all the cows converged on the Volkswagen. Now get the picture. Little car, big cows. Now Rochelle literally had never been, I don't think, that close to a cow. But she was in a car. The windows were up. She wasn't about to roll the window down. And the cows sidle up against the car and it's rocking. And I'm enjoying every moment of it. And she is just petrified. Now, her cares at that point were about getting out of that field and back into civilization, away from cows. Now, Dad wasn't there, and so we safely exited and got out of there. But what she didn't know is that on our farm, when we did roundups, we did it from the back of a pickup. We'd put hay on the pickup, and we'd go out in the field, and we'd start dropping hay, and guess what? The cattle followed right into the corral for the most part, and in the last few stragglers, you had to, by your feet, you know, chase on into the corral. But it was unique. But Rochelle wasn't real excited about being that close to cows. But her care for me didn't change. She just made sure I stayed away or kept her away from the cows, and she would stay on the other side of the fence, that was fine. But to be in the field, in a car, or worse yet, walking in that field in a car or without a car, that would be a no-no. But I don't know about you, that's really not what the message is about today. What I want you to catch from the message today is this: that we are living in a precarious time. The other thing that we know about Peter is that when he was penning these letters, 1st to 2nd Peter, there was a significant amount of persecution going on in the world around him, and the persecution was directed at those who were faithful to God. God's people were under attack. And so Peter is writing to them, giving them encouragement, giving them advice, exhorting them to live faithfully for their master, their chief shepherd, and to be living lives that would ensure them of receiving the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so in verse 5 of 1 Peter 5, encourage you to take your Bibles and open them up with me. I know it's going to be on the screen. But as he has finished talking to the elders, he now shifts to the younger people in the church. And younger people of our church today, these words are for you. Notice his advice. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. What does that mean? means that you should treat your elders with respect and honor. Now, when you think about what's going on in the world today and the values that our young people are or are not learning, there seems to be less and less honor for the elderly and the older in the world today. We are in a society today of young people where we want, and we want more. Working for it at age 8 would be unheard of to some degree. Not in all families, I understand this. But there are a lot of young people out there who are not learning what responsibility is all about and are growing up without a rudder in their lives. So Peter is giving some very sound advice to us. And so I want to thank moms and dads in our church family for being there to guide your young people, your children, into that degree of responsibility that's going to give you the tools you need to live a successful Christian life. Then he goes on, he says, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Now that's talking about church family, isn't it? We need to be a loving church family. We need to be building unity within the body so that we are functioning as one, not divided, but one, building on our relationship with Jesus, modeling for our friends and neighbors what it means to be a vibrant Christian. And then he adds, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. You know, I've known some Seventh-day Adventists who tend to brag about their knowledge of Scripture. We all need a knowledge of Scripture, don't we? We all have a responsibility to be studying and know God's Word and apply it to our lives. And more than apply, then we need to put that application to work and share the principles that we have learned from God's Word. But to go out with an attitude that I know the truth, and therefore, not stated, but sometimes implied, I know more than you. That's dangerous thinking, isn't it? I don't know of a soul sitting here today that thinks or acts that way. But you know, the most humble thing we can do is share God's truth, share the Bible in a humble manner. People are attracted to people who are humble. Are you attracted to somebody who is arrogant? A know-it-all, so to speak? Do they draw you to them? No. You're attracted to that person who has that learning attitude, who wants to know more, and they're interested in what you have to add on that subject and that theme. So let's live humbly, as Peter suggests. And then he goes on and he quotes Proverbs 3:34. He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what I want. I want that grace. I want that power that comes from that dynamic and close relationship with Jesus. So that you can go out and take care of the flock wherever you are. Meet that stranger you've never met before and still have an opportunity to share Jesus humbly, letting your light shine for him. So I'd submit to you that all believers should have this attitude towards each other and be ready to do whatever needs to be done when it needs to be done. Don't put it off. Roll up your sleeves and go to work. As the scripture says, God can't do much with proud people, but he gives grace to the humble. That's what I want. I want that humble spirit. And in verse 6, he says to us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of who? Of God, that he, God, may exalt you in due time. I want God lifting me up. I want him lifting you up. And together, we are going to be so on fire for Jesus that we can't keep quiet. The smile on your face, the song in your heart, the spring in your step will let other people know that you have something that they desire. And they're going to want to ask you what it is that you have. And what are you going to do at that point? That's the question. I don't know. Will that be your answer? I don't think so. If you have that song in your heart and that spring in your step and the smile on your face, you're going to be willing and ready to share Jesus. I'm happy today because Jesus loves me. Why do I know that? The Bible tells me so. It's pretty simple. Don't complicate it. Work with the simple. Jesus desires to be in your life 24/7. While you're sleeping, you don't have a conscious awareness of Jesus, do you? But when you wake up, what do you need to do? That's when you say, Jesus, today, what are your plans for me? What do you have for me to do with you today? Please show me the road, the path, the person, the people you and I need to interact together with today. We can do this when we are under the mighty hand of God. When we have invited him into our life and heart, we can have that experience. When you're sitting there with Jesus in your office, and you have that patient in your chair, I'm talking to my dentist friends now, you have an opportunity. You have a golden opportunity to ask a question, to make a statement, to let them know about the man, Jesus, that makes you function and be the very best dental or dental hygienist ever. The same is true for the medical doctors. The same is true for the mechanics, the electricians, the carpenters, the janitors, the nurses. And the list goes on. Doesn't matter what occupation you are in, you have an opportunity to speak for Jesus. Use it to share him. Now remember, the expression under the mighty hand of God occurs frequently in the Old Testament. You may or may not have known that. I said, remember that. That was kind of setting you up there, wasn't it? But it's used in both to reference God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. You remember that experience? As well as his gathering of the remnant from the countries where they have scattered just before Jesus comes. Think of that grand and glorious day with Jesus coming, bursting through that eastern sky. Are you going to be ready? You're going to be there protected under the mighty hand of God while those around you are planning and scheming to destroy you. You have his protection. Spirit of Prophecy talks about the rainbow of promise over those little groups of people and those solitary people. Won't matter where you are, you will be protected. I want Jesus in my life. I want his power. I want his glory. I want him delivering me from the sins of the world. So since we have a mighty God, it would be important to us then to live humbly, wasn't it? To live under his leadership and living humbly in all circumstances, since God resists the proud. Humility is a key word, a key attitude, a key principle. And God's promise to honor those who are humble is a sincere promise. I want to leave you with this thought. It's time to cast all your anxieties and worries upon him, because he cares for you. In verse 7, probably the most powerful verse and the shortest in this chapter, where he says, read it with me, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want to break this down just a little bit. Casting means throwing or placing. Casting. The thought that comes to my mind is fishing. You know, you're casting, boom, plunk, it hits the water, and the bait begins to sink, and the fish not always instantly come and nibble. But casting. Cast your cares. You're getting rid of them. You're letting go of them. You're removing them from you as you give them to him. The form of the Greek verb used here implies that the act is done once and for all. Whoa. That should pause you to think a little bit. That's worth doing, isn't it? Cast them and let go. So you're not like the fisherman who has the rod. In this case, you're casting your cares and you're letting go of them. I feel sorry for the people who have that baggage and they can't let it go. And it just burdens them and saddles them. In reference to this, Peter quotes Psalms 55:22. Here's what he says from Psalms. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That's a pretty powerful statement. Never permit the righteous to be moved. Can you claim that today? Please do, because that's a promise to you and to me. As you let go of your burdens, he'll sustain you. What a promise. Peter goes on in verse 7. Cast your burden on the Lord, casting all your care or your anxiety or your burdens on the Lord. Casting all your care. What do you care about today? Is there anything significant or important that you care about? Can you sit here in church today and truly block out whatever the issues are in your life and worship Jesus? Casting all your care. Your anxiety, your burdens. You see, he or she who places all their anxiety upon God completely solves the problem of care, which weakens so many Christians. Casting all your care upon Jesus. When you do that, you have the greatest force and power available to you ever, because you not only have Jesus, you have God the Father, and you have the Holy Spirit. The threesome that are now one. Working in unison to lift you up and to set you free. So in challenging times of trouble and persecution, remember, you have Jesus, you have the Father, you have the Holy Spirit there to guide you, help you, and protect you. You can be like Daniel when he knew he was facing the lion's den. You can be like the martyrs who died for Jesus, but who were singing their hearts out as their voices stopped. Jesus cares about you. He says this in Luke 21, verse 18. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. That's how much he cares about you. How insignificant in our lives are our hair? Well, that's easy for me to say, I'm a guy. Ladies, you can say that too, though, right? When it comes down to an eternal and a salvation issue, hair is a non-issue, correct? But it sure adds to our beauty and our grace. But Jesus, in his wisdom and his grace, is far more concerned about hair, but he lets you know that the little details he's paying attention to. And so to me, that's great assurance that he cares about us. And this assurance must have been most welcome to those of God's people down through time who were facing bitter persecution. It is indeed a source of comfort to all Christians at all times, especially when we're facing trials and challenges and persecution. So I ask you again today, what is the answer to this question? Does Jesus care? In summary, I leave you with these thoughts. Carrying your worries, stress, daily struggles by yourself shows that you have not trusted God fully with your life. Give your cares to Jesus. Number two, it takes humility, however, to recognize that God cares about you. So admit your need. Let others in God's family help you. Number three, when you turn to him in repentance, he, Jesus, will bear the weight of your burdens and struggles. Give them to him. Number four, don't submit to circumstances, but the Lord who controls circumstances. Did you catch that? Don't submit to circumstances, but to the Lord who controls circumstances. Yes, Jesus cares. In your bulletin, you have a little yellow card. I want to close with this. I was sitting in a committee not long ago at the conference office, and Elder Cavanaugh handed this out. And I was working on today's sermon, and I went up to him. I said, Elder Cavanaugh, can I plagiarize? He says, no, you can use it. So I said, thank you. But it's a great summary of what we just talked about. But I want you to notice a couple things. In Desire of Ages 3:29, whatever your anxieties and trials, spread out your case before the Lord. Here's what we're to do. Your spirit will be braced for endurance. The way will be open for you to disentangle yourself from embarrassment and difficulty. The weaker and more helpless you know yourself to be, the stronger will you become in his strength. Isn't that awesome? The weaker you are, the stronger you will be. The heavier your burdens, the more blessed the rest in casting them upon the burden bearer, Jesus Christ. Dear Desire of Ages, 329. Is there anybody that has not gotten one of these? Raise your hand and I'll have one delivered to you. Where's Chris? Chris was going to help me with this. All right, Chris, hold your hands up. And if another person could help Chris, we can do both sides at the same time. Just hold your hands up. Worry is blind. This is from Desire of Ages 330. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future. But Jesus sees what? The end from the beginning. In every difficulty, he has his ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. Think about that. He has more ways to provide for you and me than we had ever thought about or dreamed about. And then she goes on, those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. I say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, I know you, Jesus, care for me and for you. Let's stand together as we sing our closing hymn.
We've changed the last hymn to be hymn number 666, Cast Thy Burden Upon the Lord. It's perfect. It's just perfect.
Cast thy burden upon the and he shall sustain thee. He never will suffer the righteous to fall. He is at thy right hand. Thy mercy, Lord, is great.
We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we leave here today, we take Peter's counsel to us to cast our cares upon you, Jesus, and you will give us peace. We ask you, Jesus, to empower us, to strengthen us, to forgive us, to keep us walking in a powerful and dynamic relationship with you. Your light shining from us, cascade of the Holy Spirit filling us every moment of every day so that we will be ready always to meet you. May your light and love go with us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name.